ఓం శాంతి. గుడ్ మార్నింగ్. లౌడ్లీ ఓం శాంతి. సో ఇట్స్ మై ప్లెజర్ టు బి గివింగ్ ఎ క్లాస్ దిస్ మార్నింగ్ టు ఆల్ ద డబుల్ ఫారినర్స్. ఐ నో this in this group there you are not many, but of course the next group is going to be very large, because in that there will be CCs, NCs, RCs, all are coming, but in this group not that many. But your classes go on and the retreat also goes on. Very lovely retreat you all are having, Bap Saman retreat, the journey and the destination. So we all know that our destination is to become Bap Saman, and we have to return home. But before that we have to become an angel, and what before that we have to become a Brahmin. We were first Shudras. As we came to Baba, we became true Brahmins, preparing for becoming angels, and then returning home, and then coming in the new world as deities. So what is our responsibility as a Brahmin? The moment we came to Baba, we got this knowledge, we did the course, we developed that faith that yes, it is our God's teachings, it is God who is teaching us this knowledge, it is God who is giving us the Srimad, the Supreme Directions, the highest dictates are coming to us from the highest Father, and the aim of these dictates is that we have to become pure. The essence is we have to become holy and Raj Yogi. And Baba gave us a very beautiful gift when we took a spiritual birth. What is that gift Baba gave to us? The divine insight, the divine eye, or the divine intellect, the third eye. When we got the third eye of divine wisdom, divine intellect, or divine insight, we were able to see all the three aspects of time. We were able to see the three worlds. And now we say that we are all Trikaldarshis, the knowers of the three aspects of time. Yes? All of you say that? Those who say, yes, we are the knowers of the three aspects of time, the past, the present, the future. We now know everything. Raise your hand. Yes? Everyone? Not everyone? Everyone raise your hand. Feeling cold? Raise your hand. Those who say, yes, we have the knowledge of the three aspects of time. We have the knowledge of the three worlds. We have the knowledge of the Self. We have the knowledge of the Supreme Father. We also have the knowledge of the cycle, the drama, everything. And because we have this knowledge, we say knowledge is a power. And this knowledge, which is a power, it is making us very, very powerful, strong. Now, since we have this knowledge, what are we supposed to do? It's not meant only for us. Baba said in today's Murli also, you are messengers of God. Because whatever you have received, you have to share that with others. You have to share it with the souls of the world. In that comes everyone. Our relatives, our friends, our neighbors, anyone whom we know, we come across, we have to serve them. And for that, we have to become bestowers. We have to give. And Baba has told us the karma philosophy for that. That whatever you give, that you get back. This is karma philosophy. Whatever you give, that you, what? Get back. Whatever you give. If you are not having it, then give it. And you can say, how can I give if I don't have? And Baba says, it's not that you have to give only what you have. Even if you think you don't have, you still have it. You can still give. You know, and what you can give, we give a small example. That one poor person, he was very hungry. So he went to a sweet shop, you know, where they were selling sweets. So he asked, please, I'm very hungry. And I like these sweets. Can you give me something? I don't have money. Can you give me this sweet? That shopkeeper got very angry with him. He shouted at him and scolded him and, insulted him. And told him to get out. But before leaving, that shopkeeper, that person who came to ask for sweets, he said, okay, if you cannot give sweets, doesn't matter. But at least speak sweetly. But at least speak sweetly. That you can give, no, can't you? Can't you speak sweetly? The same thing can be spoken harshly or sweetly. It's up to us. I want to tell someone, get out. I can say it loudly, forcibly, with anger, get out. Or I can say with great respect, please, if you don't mind, can you come out? Can you go out? So it's the same thing. But one is, to say it harshly, loudly, angrily, forcefully, and the other is to say with love, with respect. And if you say with love and respect, the other one will appreciate and will feel that you have given him respect, although you have told him to go out. But if you speak loudly, shout at him, get angry with him, he'll say, I won't go out. What will you do? He can react. He can react because he doesn't want to get out. You can't force him, you can't push him. Even if you push him, he can come back. So there's always a choice. What you want to give. But what you give, that you get back. If you shout, he will also shout at you. If you say speak sweetly, he will also speak sweetly with you. So you can never, never, ever say that, I don't have anything to give. You may not want to give that physical sweet, but you can always speak sweet words. So you always have something to give. And what you give, that you get back. So Baba says, at this confluence age, you have to become a bestower. Because a life of a Brahmin is the life of a bestower. A life of a Brahmin is to always give, give. And that is why the Hindi word for giving is dena, dena. And Baba says, dena, who can always give? The one who is a deity. A deity always gives. Devata, the one who always gives. That is why you will see that, you know, deities, whenever they are depicted, they are, their hand is always the hand of giving. There are three ways to show that you are giving. One is this way, this giving blessings. Like the deities are giving blessing, so this hand is of blessing. This is also giving. The other way of giving is like this. You go to an elderly person and you say, please bless me. Please bless me, and he will put his hand on your head and say, okay, may you live long, may you be happy, may you be healthy. So he's blessing. So this is the second way of giving. And the third way of giving is like this. I don't know if you have seen the picture of Lakshmi, Mahalakshmi, goddess with four arms, Mahalakshmi. Her hand is always like this. And there are coins, gold coins coming out from her hand. And you know, coming out gold coins. So this also is giving. So like this, and like this. And what is begging? Like this. What does a beggar do? Give me peace, give me love, give me happiness. Give me money, give, 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 give. You know, there's a very interesting joke on this. That once there were two people. They prayed to God a lot and God said, I'm pleased with you all. You ask for something. What do you want from me? So one of them said, God, I wish that I should always be giving and giving and giving and giving. And the other one said, I wish that I should always be getting and getting and getting and getting, receiving and receiving all the time. So what did God do? The one who asked, the one who said, I should be always giving and giving and giving, God made him a very, very wealthy, prosperous person. Because only a wealthy, prosperous person can keep giving. And the one who said, I want only take and take and take. I should be taking and taking and taking. So God made him a beggar. God made him a beggar. Because what does a beggar do? He's always asking, asking, give, 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 give. So he's always asking. So Baba says that you have to apply the tilak of self-sovereignty on your head. Baba said in today's Murli also. And for that, whatever Srimad Baba gives, that you have to bring into practical life. On the path of devotion, we were always asking and asking and asking. Give, give, give to God. As either asking for physical objects. God, I need this, I need that, I need that. You know, but there's always a saying that needs are not really many. How much you need for your life, you know, for your daily thing. How much? Not much. How many clothes can you wear at one time? Only one dress, no? You can't wear 10 dresses at the same time. How much food can you eat at one time? Your stomach is not a big tank that it will keep filling and filling. How much it needs. So how much you need to wear, how much you need to eat, how much space you need to sleep. You don't need much space, do you? So just 6 feet by 3 feet, you know, a bed. So you don't need many things. But then, needs are not many. But wants are unlimited. I want, I want, I want, I want. Wants are unlimited. And therefore, there's a very beautiful saying, there's everything for one's need, but not for one's greed. For greed, there's not anything. But for need, of course, nature has provided everything. And therefore, we say that we should not have any more desires, but still, people do ask from God, you know. I need a good house, I need a, you know, a good car, I need this, I need that. Or some may say, okay, I will not ask God for these things. At least I can ask for peace, for love, for happiness. So, Baba says, well, nothing is really meant to be asked for. The objects are concerned, physical things are concerned. Be happy with what you have. That is very important. We are not happy with what we have. We want more and more. So what we have, we don't make use of that. And we want more and more because others have it. So we are jealous of them and or maybe we are trying to compare. So Baba says, for that you have to just be happy, just be content with what you have. Don't ask for physical objects. Instead, thank God, thank Baba for what you already have. Because in the world there are so many people who don't even have that much as we have. So we have no right to ask for more. Let God give to them, those who don't have, we have enough. So be very contented, satisfied inside. But then some say, okay, we won't ask for any physical things. But then, can't we ask for peace, for love, for happiness? At least that we can ask, no? Many ask, Baba, Baba, please give me, I'm very, very stressful, distressed, Baba, I want some peace. Baba, I want more love from you, you know, I want, whatever. So they ask for qualities, for virtues. Baba says, you don't have to ask for that either. Why? Why you don't have to ask? Now will we tell Baba, Baba, give me peace? Will you tell Baba? Those who say, yes, we will tell Baba that, give me peace, raise your hand. No one? You. You'll tell Baba for peace. You ask Baba for peace, give me peace, huh? Sure. You don't have peace in you? You have? You have peace in you or no? Because the moment you say, Om Shanti, what does it mean? What does it mean? I am a peaceful soul. So you have peace, no? You don't have peace. The moment you say, I am a peaceful soul, it means peace is there in you, no? And you can't get peace from outside, can you? You ask someone, give me peace, how will he give you peace? He'll not put something on your platter, on your plate and say, okay, this is peace for you. It's not something physical. And therefore, there's no question of asking for these virtues also, because every soul is an embodiment of these virtues. Every soul has them within them. They don't have to ask anyone. But they have to become aware of that. It is there very much in them. But in order to experience them, they have to have that awareness that yes, I am a peaceful soul. I am a loving soul. I am a powerful soul. So I am that, and immediately it will be felt from within. Because whatever you think, that you will experience, that you will become. So qualities also we cannot ask, we should not ask. Then what should we do? Just become them, because I already have them. I am that. And therefore we say Om Shanti 3 times. Why do we say Om Shanti 3 times? What is the importance of 3 times? 3 times means when I say Om Shanti, Om Shanti, Om Shanti, it means it has 3 meanings. In today's Murli Baba said, Bab Dada say Om Shanti. One Shiv Baba's Om Shanti, the other Brahma Baba's Om Shanti. But even individually, Dadi Janki herself, she says 3 times Om Shanti. So, and she says, why I'm saying 3 times Om Shanti? Who am I? Whom do I belong to? And from where am I? So, I'm a peaceful soul. I'm the child of the ocean of peace. And I belong to the world of peace, the silence world. So if I am a peaceful soul, I am the child of the ocean of peace, and I belong to that peaceful abode, how can I be peaceless? So the awareness is needed, and that when the awareness comes, I already have the peace. It is mine, it is my quality, it's my nature. But I forget that I am a soul, and therefore I lose this nature of peace. Somebody has a lot of money, but he is forgotten. So even if he has, he will say he doesn't have, because he has forgotten that he has. And therefore, Baba says, now become aware of it once again. So no asking for peace also, or love, or happiness, or power. No, I already have it. I have to just become aware of it. I have to awaken it. And that's what meditation is. I am a peaceful soul. I don't say to Baba, Baba, give me peace. So asking is like begging. Asking is in prayers. So the difference between prayers and meditation is, we say in prayers you ask. In meditation you receive. You feel it. You become aware of it. So that's the difference. They say, no, in prayers is in which you speak to God, and meditation is when God speaks to you. So God tells you, you are a peaceful soul, you are a loving soul, and Baba blesses you. But then Baba also says that for that you have to make the effort. In today's Murli also Baba said, people on the path of devotion, they ask for blessings. Baba says, no, don't ask for it. But you make your effort and you will receive the blessings. You don't have to ask for it. And what is the effort? The awareness. The effort to bring that awareness in you, the awakening in you, that I am a peaceful soul. And the third thing what people usually ask from God is, they ask for mercy. They ask for sympathy. They keep asking. And they say, they ask for forgiveness. They don't ask for virtues, but they ask for mercy, for compassion, for forgiveness. So why they ask for? Because they have done something wrong. And they say, God, please forgive me. And why are they asking God for forgiveness? Because they know that if I've done something wrong, I've committed a sin, I will be punished for that. I will be punished, and therefore God, forgive me for what I have done. You know, in the Garuda Puran, like Baba was saying in today's Murli also, people read the Garuda Puran. In that Garuda Puran, it's a scripture, and in that scripture there are stories of how people get punished for their wrong actions, for their wrong deeds. If they indulge in lust, then what is the punishment? If they, get angry, then what is the punishment of that? Greed, the punishment that of that, an attachment, an ego, and jealousy, and hatred. So different types of punishments they show in Garuda Puran. They are made to be burnt in the fire. They are fried in oil. They are cut into pieces. That is what they show, what Dharamraj does in the way of punishment. So they ask for forgiveness. God, please forgive me. But Baba says, don't just ask for forgiveness. In today's Murli, Baba said, don't ask for mercy. Don't ask for forgiveness. Instead, make a promise that you will never do it again. If you make a promise, then you get that strength to not repeat that mistake. But if you ask just for forgiveness, then you'll do it again, because sorry, sorry, sorry doesn't help. You say sorry once and you repeat the mistake. Again, sorry, then again repeat the mistake. But if you have done some mistake once, make such a promise to Baba that you will never repeat it. And therefore Baba said, don't ask for mercy, just follow Srimad. From morning till night, Baba has given us so much Srimad for every action, for every word, for every thought. Baba has given us Srimad for it. What we have to do and what we don't have to do. And that is the real blessing on you. Don't ask for blessing. Don't ask for mercy. Don't ask for any quality or virtue. Don't ask for anything physical. Instead, give. And how we give, in what way we give, Baba says, the greatest wealth is the wealth of knowledge. You know, many people, they come here and we give them the course and then we give them also food to eat. Many people tell us that your organization is so big, you should do some more social service and you should, feed to the poor, you should do this, you should do that. You know, they give a lot of advices. But we say, well, those who come here, we feed them. Why not? Everyone who comes here is given lunch or dinner or breakfast. It's fine. But we won't call the people on the street, come, we give you food to eat. Or the beggars on the street or whoever is there and we just invite them and give them food every day or every meal and say, okay, you stay here and eat. That's not this organization for. This is a spiritual organization. And therefore, we have an understanding of what we have to do and what we don't have to do. But then there's respect for all humanity, those who come here. We tell them, first you must take knowledge. Understand yourself. Who am I? Understand who is God. And then you'll realize where you have come, in whose home you have come, whose food you are eating. Not just anyone come and then eat and go. No. It's not like that. This is God's home. And whatever directions or instructions or dictates or advice God gives to us, we have to bring that into our practical life. And only then we get the rights. God gives us all rights, but He says you have to bear the responsibility too. And what is the responsibility? We have to help God. God is asking for our help in creating a new world, the golden aged world. And what help is He asking us for? He says, children, become pure. This is one aspect of help. Because through purity we change the world. And the other help is, Baba Himself says, your body, mind, wealth. You have to help humanity. God doesn't need anything. We are helping ourselves. Those who are helping others are actually helping the self. And Baba said in today's Murli, that those soldiers, they fight for the king. But you are fighting against Maya for your own victory, for your own kingdom. So Maya is your greatest enemy. And therefore Baba says, for that what you have to give, all the wealth of knowledge which I'm giving to you, that you have to share with others. Don't become misers. Don't keep it to yourself. Because these virtues are such that the more you share, the more you become richer in them. The more you give others, the more you feel that it has doubled. That is why there's a saying, happiness shared is happiness doubled. If you want happiness, then share that happiness with others. But then the opposite is there. If you share sorrow, then sorrow is halved. But that's not the case all the time. That if you share your sorrow is halved. It's not the case. Actually, nowadays there is competition in this. Somewhere somebody told me, there's a competition in sorrow. You tell your sorrow to somebody and he will tell you twice the sorrow of yours. You tell him your sorrow And he'll say, oh my God, well, yours is nothing. Mine is this. So double the sorrow of what you have. So there's competition. So instead of really your sorrow becoming half, it is becoming double because that one is also shared his sorrow with you. So it's never that you share your sorrow and your sorrow is halved. It is doubled again. So whatever you give, you get back in a double way. So how do you share happiness? How do you share happiness? You tell him all the positive things. In this way you share happiness. So if you tell him the positive things about peace, about love, about happiness, how the soul is an embodiment of peace. You don't have to ask for peace from anyone. So give the commentary of peace to that soul and that soul will experience the peace and your peace will double. Because at that time it's not that you are giving and giving means giving, it is receiving. Money, if you have 10 rupees and you give 5 rupees, your money will not become 20, it will become only 5. It won't double. So physical things will not double if you share. But spiritual things, definitely they will double. And even physical things, sometimes now I'm eating. When I see someone who says, I'm very hungry today, I'm very hungry, can you help? And I don't mind, you know, cutting my food and sharing it with that person. It's not that I will go hungry or I will die. It's not going to happen like that. So I can always share. And for that, Baba says, you have to have a big heart, a very compassionate heart. You should be having that feeling of giving and never ever thought that what has he given to me or she given to me that I should give to him? Or what is also never a thought that if I give to him, what will he give me back in return? So never the thought of return and never the thought of what he has given that I should give him. So why should I give him? He has not given me anything. Or if I give him and he should return only, then I will give him. Never, never such thought. Because the more you think in that way, more your charities, return of the charity will reduce. Because whatever you do, you will get back. It's not going to be lost. It's nothing. It's not just giving. It's an investment. Like you give in the bank. You're not giving to the bank, but you're investing it. Because you will get it back with interest. So it's not just giving. It is depositing it and getting the return with interest. So this is what Baba says. Never, never have a thought that I'm giving. Because if the thought comes, I'm giving, and the ego comes, oh, I'm a philanthropist, you know, today's Baba Murli Baba said, many are big philanthropists. So I also have to be a bestower, I have to be a philanthropist. Like Brahma Baba you saw in his story, how he was a philanthropist. Anyone who came to his doorstep, came to his home, he never, never sent him away empty-handed. He always gave him something. Because he's like your guest. You know, in India we have this beautiful saying, Atithi Devo Bhava. Atithi Devo Bhava means the one who comes to you, your guest, he's like God to you. So what do? You give to God, no, offer to God. So that guest who has come in your house is like God to you. And therefore, never, never let him go without giving him anything. You know, it's very interesting. You go somewhere and they say, okay, have meals, have this. You say, no, I'm full, I don't want. Have tea, no, please. Okay, have water. You say, no water also. I don't know, I need to take. Say, okay, at least one cashew nut. Some fruit, something you must take. How can you go without taking anything? There's so much of hospitality. In India we have this feeling. And therefore Baba says, this is not just physically, but even spiritually you should be giving. Anyone who comes, don't allow him to go without you having shared some points of knowledge with him. Because each one in this world is thirsty. Each one is hungry. May not be hunger of food, but then hunger of love and happiness and peace and respect. Everyone is hungry. And therefore Baba says you have to give. So you either give jnana, if not jnana, then at least give a virtue. Now virtue you can't give physically, but virtue you can surely share with your attitude, with your feelings, with your behavior, with your vision. You can surely give that virtue. Even a smile, even that is giving. Some people say, I have nothing to give. Okay, don't give, but at least smile. Even that's a beautiful thing to give. If you want the other one to smile, then you have to smile first. There's a story on this that one guru had two disciples. So he wanted to test them. So he gave them some flowers and told them, you go to a particular village and there share these flowers with all. But then make sure that when you're sharing a flower with the other one, he should be smiling. Only if he's smiling, then you give him the flower. So one of the disciples, he went and he was smiling and smiling, and everyone he was smiling at, that one also smiled at him, and he gave him a flower. And he came back, the basket was empty, he had given all the flowers. But the other one returned with the flowers back. He was not able to give any flower to anyone. So when he came back with all the flowers, the guru asked him, You did find anyone who was smiling? He said, no, everyone was so sulky. And the other one said, everyone was smiling, and therefore his basket was empty, and the other one's basket, not even a single flower was given. Because the other one, his face was sulky. And because his face was sulky, remember, he would look at even that one would be sulky. So he didn't find anyone smiling. So if he wanted somebody to smile, what should he have done? He should have smiled himself. You know, when you're smiling, you're automatically making the other one smile. You're automatically making that person smile. He won't look at you. Even if he looks at you, but you are smiling, gradually he will change. He will start smiling at you. And therefore we say, whatever you want the other one to give you, you give him first. And therefore, we say we have to become bestowers. So if not any physical thing, if not any point of knowledge, at least a smile, even that's a very big thing which we can share. Because in today's world, you hardly find people who are smiling also, you know. Really. I don't know where I went. I think I was in London. So I went in a tube, means the train. And I saw everybody busy in his own work, reading or sleeping or, you know, that looking at the TV, his mobile. But no one smiling. So I smiled at one person, and that person looked at me, thought I was mad. I said, look at this. Look at this. If you smile, you expect the other one to smile. But instead of smiling, he looked at me with some funny idea or funny thought that this lady must be gone insane. So, because in the world there is so much of stress, so they don't even think that they have to smile. But then we know that the one who has a happy heart, the one who is like childlike, he will definitely smile. You see little children, they smile for no reason. What makes them smile? They're smiling. And the moment you see a small baby smiling, immediately you smile. However much sorrow you may have or some stress you may have, but that baby is smiling and immediately your sorrow is gone and you start smiling. And therefore Baba says, you have to give, you have to give, you have to give. If not knowledge, that least a virtue. And the highest giving, of course, would be sharing your spiritual power to that soul. Maybe your drishti can also give. In that drishti, there could be, maybe you're not speaking in words, but just drishti, your attitude, your feelings, even through that they can feel it. But then for that, I have to be a bestower, I have to give. And I should not think that I need something from him or her. Because who am I? I'm the master bestower, the child of the bestower, the one who is the maker of fortune of all. I belong to that one. So my eyes will never go to petty things or mundane things, because it's the bestower who is giving to me. I'm not asking any humans to give to me. Whose child am I? So this intoxication which Baba fills in us has to be so strong that these eyes should not fall on anything. No desires whatsoever. No greed whatsoever. So when that high attitude comes, then we can really be called bestowers. If I have the attitude, I want something from him, I want someone something, then I can never become a bestower. So my attitude, my vision, my outlook should be very, very high. Not even once a thought should come, I should get that. I should have it. You know, nowadays there's so much of competition. Oh, so has such a good car. I also need this good car. That one has such a good laptop. I also need such a laptop. That one has such a good mobile. I also need it. Well, where the need is there, okay, it's fine. But because that one has, therefore I want, that shouldn't be our thought. You know, that's why some people say, I went to somewhere, I think must be USA. And there was a joke. Somebody said, when does your car become old? When is your car called an old car? Is it after 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 8 years, 10 years? How many years for the car to become old? What will you say? How many years? How many years old the car should be that will be called old car? 15 years. 15 years. Acha. But you know what answer I was given? When your neighbor gets a new car. When your neighbor gets a new car. Or your brother gets a new car. Your so-and-so gets a new car. Oh, I also need a new car. Because he or she got a new car. So your car looks old because that one got a new car and your car is a little older compared to that car, and therefore you also want a new one. I know of so many parents, how they complain of their children. Because my friend has got this new car, I also want a new car. My friend has got this new mobile, I also need it. And therefore Baba says, if your eyes fall to those things, it means You are not actually big-hearted. You are not, having that unlimited feeling. Your interests are very, very limited. Because I have met the bestower, the highest on high. I don't need anything. And there's also a beautiful saying, what comes to you easily as a gift, definitely accept it with love. But not with greed. Oh, yes, now I got it. I wanted it and I got it. Accept it with love. But you don't ask yourself, whatever you get, okay, accept with love. It's a blessing to you. Therefore we say present, no? Present is a gift. But if your eyes fall on it, it means there's greed. Or if you take it by force, then it becomes a sin. And therefore Baba says, your connection should be with only one Supreme Father who's always giving. Baba will give what humans can give. If you really need it, Baba will give. Baba definitely knows your feelings. Baba will definitely give you if you really need it. So with these thoughts, you can make your mind very, very elevated, very elevated. It should not fall in, you know, on petty things. There's an interesting story on this, that once a king, he announced in his kingdom that I have many, many little items which I can share with people, and I want to give them to my subjects. So each one of you can come to my palace and take whatever you want. So any one of the items or gifts which will going to be put on display, you can take anything you want. You are allowed to take anything you want. So people came running into the palace to take something or the other. They took and went. But there was one girl. She came and she looked around. But she was not taking anything. So the people who were on security, they said, take something. And she was looking, going round and round, not taking anything. So she took a few hours and she still did not take anything. So that soldier or whoever, the policeman or whatever, he said, you don't want anything. She said, I'm still looking. So ultimately the king was called. The king, he was in the palace, and the king came to see that girl. Why? Then he himself asked, why are you not taking it? There are so many things here. Please take something. And you know that girl, what she did? She just touched the king. I want you. Because the king said you can take anything. So he was also standing, no? He was also standing, so she could take him also, no? And she just touched him. And well, she said, now I have got what I wanted. So if she gets the king, she gets everything. If she would ask, take only one thing, that would be just one thing. But the king, so it gives everything. So Baba says, you have the Supreme with you, the bestower with you, you have the fortune maker with you, you have the one who is the Almighty, Supreme Father. And if he belongs to you, what else do you want? Nothing. If he belongs to you, everything belongs to you. Somebody said, you must love all. And love for all is love for God. We say, no. Just love God and you will love everyone. Because if you start loving everyone, that doesn't mean that you really love God. And you can't even love everyone just like that. If you want to water a tree, you can't water every leaf. You won't even be able to water every leaf. There's so many leaves. How much can you water each leaf? But if you really want to water the tree, what do you do? Just water the seed, the roots, that's all. Just water the roots. You don't have to water every leaf. No need. The leaves get the water from the seed. So just water the seed. So the seed is Shiv Baba. Just have love for the seed. And that means you have love for everyone. Otherwise, if you are trying to love everyone, you will never be able to love everyone. Because there's limit to loving everyone. But how far can you go to love everyone? You know, there are some people who say, I love everyone except my neighbor. Neighbor they don't love. Jealous with the neighbor. with the neighbor, always watching what he is getting, what I should get, always watching. So if I am jealous about my neighbor, then how can I say that I love everyone? Like Baba says, you know, people in India, we do say when we are giving a speech, my dear brothers and sisters. So the wife of that person was sitting in the audience and she got very upset when you say my brothers and sisters. I'm not your sister, I'm your wife. So after that he corrected himself. My dear brothers and sisters, except one. Except one, because she is not my sister. But Baba tells us, everyone is your brother, a brother and sister, because the children of Brahma, we are all brothers and sisters. The children of Shiv Baba, we are all brothers. And as we are children of the bestower, we are also like the bestower. And therefore Baba says that whenever you do any action, whenever you speak any words, whenever you create any thought, at that time, ask yourself, will these be the same thoughts that of Brahma Baba? Will they be the same words like of Brahma Baba? Will they be the same actions like of Brahma Baba? If Brahma Baba would be here, would he do the same thing or would he do different? If Brahma Baba would be here, would he speak in this way or would he speak in a different way? If Brahma Baba was here, would he think in this way or think in a different way? So I have to think, I have to speak, I have to do as Brahma Baba would do. This is called Bap Saman. If Brahma Baba would not do this, I also don't have to do it. Because I have to follow the Father. Shiv Baba, we don't follow, we just see. And therefore there are two words. See Father and follow Father. So Shiv Baba we just see. We look at Baba and we take the power from him. We say, Baba, you are the ocean of peace. And immediately I feel the rays of peace coming to me. Baba, you are the ocean of love and the rays of love coming to me. So Baba, I have to see and receive. But Brahma Baba, I have to follow and experience. Follow. Follow in the footsteps of Brahma Baba. We have Brahma Baba to follow. We have the seniors to follow. We have so many whom we can follow who are, you know, really that elevated. But Brahma Baba did not have anyone to see and follow. No. He had to just see Baba, Shiv Baba. And whatever Shiv Baba told him, he did immediately. He didn't even think twice. He didn't think twice when Shiv Baba told him, all your money which you have, you surrender it to the mothers. And Brahma Baba instantly, you know, did that. He surrendered, he willed all his property, movable, immovable property on the name of the sisters, eight sisters, he willed all his property. He didn't think at that time, oh, what about my children? He had five children and they were all grown up children. They also would have asked for the rights, but he surrendered everything because Shiv Baba told him. Shiv Baba said, now make everyone make a commitment, we will become holy and yogi. And each one committed himself, took a pledge, I will become yogi and I will become holy. People opposed. But before he took the pledge, he never thought that what will people say. Because nowadays, everything, every time they want to do something, what will people say? What will people say? Brahma Baba didn't think. Whatever Shiv Baba said, he did it. He followed Shiv Baba instantly, without any other thought. We have so many thoughts, but Baba did not. Shiv Baba says, become a trustee of whatever you have. And immediately I should think, yes, Everything belongs to Baba. Baba is not going to take away from me what I have. Keep it with you, Baba says, but be a trustee. And what's a trustee? Everything belongs to Shiv Baba, and therefore my attachment towards it is not there. I remember once, you know, when I went to some country, and when I came to the airport, someone came to pick me at the airport, and he said, "Welcome to Baba's car." So I said, "Okay, thank you." I thought it must be the car from the center. And actually it was his own car, his car. But he said, welcome to Baba's car. So I sat in the car. And then he said, "I'll take you to Baba's home." So I thought he was going to take me to the center, because Baba's home means center. But he took me to his home. I said, this is the center. He said, "No, this is Baba's home. This is Baba's home." I didn't understand what he was saying, but it was his Lokik home. But every time he was saying Baba's home, Baba's car, Baba's thing, Baba's thing. So I felt that yes, all the time he has this feeling, everything belongs to Baba. Usually, even some people show the ego, my house, my car, you know, my this, my. But he was so sweet, and then I realized really how humble he is. Because he said, "I never say mine, I always say Baba." You see, souls come and they give in Baba's yajna. So they never say, "This is for you," but they'll say, "This is for Baba." And so, supposing I give to someone, I will also not say, "I am giving to you." Baba is giving to you. Baba is giving, because nothing is mine anyway. So when that feeling comes that Baba is giving, it's easy to become a bestower, because nothing is really yours. But for that, you need to finish attachment. You need to finish greed. You need to finish all your desires when this thought of giving comes. But if you have desires, if you have greed, if you have attachment, then you can never become a bestower. So what will you do? We all have to become bestowers. What do you think? Is each one a bestower, or little bit miser, little bit I and my in the mind? Ask yourself. You're not going to really lose anything if you become a bestower. You won't lose anything. On the contrary, you'll only gain. Even if you say that I'm giving, but you're not really giving, so don't even use the word giving. Always use the word receiving, I'm giving, I'm taking. I'm only investing, because it is not really giving. My giving means my taking. So when I understand this karma philosophy, I know that at every step, I have to keep my mind always detached, detached, detached. It's Baba's, I'm only an instrument, Baba has given, and I'm giving what Baba has given. And I can become detached without really having any feeling of mine or I or mine. You know, I know of kings. I remember kings never keep their hand this way. You know, supposing we give them a gift, they never take it, never take, because a king is supposed to be a bestower. So if you are giving a gift to the king, in the earlier days the kings had their speciality, of course not now, no kings anymore. But then the king, supposing you take a gift to him, what he'll do, he'll just put his hand like this on the gift. Not like this. He'll put his hand on the gift. That is, okay, I have accepted it, I have blessed it, and his assistant will come and take it. But he will not take it on his own like this. I experienced this when I went to Nepal, when there was a king in Nepal. So we all went to meet him on his birthday. And we took a beautiful gift for him. So when we went and he met us, we had a nice chat, and then we presented that gift, and immediately he put his hand like this. And his assistant came and took it. But he didn't do like this to take, because the king means the bestower, the one who's always giving. So we are master kings, no? Baba says, you are Raja Bacche. Each one is a self-sovereign. We are masters of our senses. But we are also masters of our mind and intellect. We are masters of our sanskars too. Master means owner, yes. But I can, as a master, I can do what I wish to do, what I want to do. Not that I am a slave or I am, I am actually a servant of it. But I am the master of it. In a second, I can just withdraw if I want to. In a second, I can just be detached if I want to. So this is being called a master. And this is what Baba expects from us. And Baba says, the more you become bestowers now, the higher status you will get and the more you will become prosperous in the golden age. So never think of wanting anything from anyone, always giving. But if you are being given, accept it as a gift, as a token of love, that's all. And never say, oh, what have you brought? Huh? Never like that. Accept it with love, of course, because it is given with love. So anything given with love, even if it's a small gift, it's a beautiful gift. And if it is something big but not with love, then even a big gift is not a gift at all. Baba gives us everything so our eyes don't fall on anything mundane. So such a big heart we should have, such a generous heart we should have, such a bestower heart we should have. Only then, Baba says, you can become the masters of the world. And we are that as Brahmins. Always remember, I'm a Brahmin, the mouth progeny of Brahma, the first creation of God, first creation of God. I'm worthy to go to paradise, to golden age. For that I'm becoming pure. I'm a pure soul, a peaceful soul, a loving soul, a blissful soul, a powerful soul. And therefore a powerful soul is always giving, always giving. And only then, Baba says, you can become a devta, a deity. Baba was saying in today's Murli also, we praise the deities, but then we never had the thought that we could become like them. But now, when we go in a temple, what will we say? Oh, I am like this. I am this deity. You know, sometimes we say it in a very joking manner. In India, supposing someone is going to the temple. So in Hindi, these words are, I'm going for darshan. For darshan means to go to the temple, to worship, so for darshan. But then, darshan means to see it. To see someone means I got darshan of that one. But then, instead of really going to see or get darshan of that one, we are really giving our darshan to that deity. Not that we are getting darshan, but we are giving our darshan to the deity. How? Because the deity's eyes are open. Deity's eyes are not closed. That deity is watching me. But when I go in front of that deity, I have my hands folded and my eyes are closed, my head is down, I'm praying and also asking for something. Like this. So that deity's eyes are open and my eyes are closed. And head down, maybe asking for something and praying to God in a very, maybe, although we may be humble, no doubt, But then, like a beggar, we are asking. Now, that one's deity's eyes are open means, who is getting darshan of whom? Is it I getting darshan of the deity, or the deity getting darshan of me? Who is looking at whom? I'm not looking at the deity, my eyes are closed. And that deity's eyes are open. So who is looking at whom? I'm looking at the deity, or is the deity looking at me? Who is looking at me? It's the deity looking at me and saying, oh, look at this poor thing, feeling pity on me. Instead of me looking at the deity and taking inspiration from the deity. But now when we will go, we will not do like this. We will look into the eyes of the deity and get inspiration from the deity. See, this deity is smiling. This deity is giving a vision. This deity is so contented. So contented, so full. And I also have to become like that. So I'm taking inspiration, not asking for peace and love. But this deity is so peaceful. I am also that peaceful. So the vibrations come to me. I experience myself to be a blessed soul. Because I am becoming that. I was that and I will become that. So giving me a lot of happiness too. Baba is making me like this. So before, on the path of devotion, when we would go to the temple, we would see the deity and just shut our eyes or ask and keep asking. And now we take the inspiration and we feel, yes, we are becoming that. So I am a deity, I'm becoming a deity, and I will surely become one because I'm imbibing all the divine qualities in me. So if I think in this way, then automatically I can become a bestower. So what Baba is giving me, what inspiration I'm getting from these deities, well, I also become like that and give to others. And as a bestower, my only task is to have just one thing in mind, and that is to give, that's all. I am full. I am contented. I am very, very satisfied. Always think in this way. So never, never really feel sad about anything. I don't have this. I should have it. Never. If somebody is asked, who is the happiest person on earth? Will you say I, or will you say somebody else? Now, who is the happiest person on earth? Say I. Say, have that intoxication. I am the happiest person on earth. There can be no one happier than me. I know of a brother, once I asked him, how are you? You know what he replied? He said, better than you. Better than you. It was a sign of intoxication. Better than you. I said, very good if you think in this way, better than you. I thought I was only the best, but you think you're better than me. Okay, a gulab jamun in your mouth, then you're better than me. Baba says, a rose in your mouth. If you say something good, something auspicious, it's like a rose in your mouth or gulab jamun in your mouth because you have said something auspicious, better than you. Otherwise people say, no, okay, fine, going on, trying to this. But he was so intoxicated. So can we be always so intoxicated that I'm the happiest person on earth? Because no desires, no ill feelings towards anyone, no needs, no wants, nothing. My eyes don't fall on anything mundane, anything physical. I have everything. Baba has given me everything. And therefore I have to just keep on giving and giving and giving. And the more I give, the more I will become wealthier in my virtues, in my knowledge, in my powers. And everything physical also. Because I'm serving God's children. and God is the one who is the bestower, who gives. So I am a direct child of that bestower, so I am like that father. People in the world say, you are God. Baba says, you are not God. No soul can be called supreme soul. But you are definitely master bestowers, like God. And therefore full, contented, and helping souls, and getting blessings, yes. You can't even ask for blessings, but you will always receive blessings if you are helping. And that's what I have to do. Okay? So go from here as master bestowers, generous-hearted, big-hearted. But of course, Baba says, you have to check whom you are serving. You have to check the pulse of each one, what he really needs. That's also very important. So if he needs peace, don't talk about happiness. If he needs happiness, don't talk about peace. If he needs love, don't talk about peace. Tell him what is true love. So whatever that person needs, you understand his pulse and give to him accordingly. And help him in that way. And you will never be the loser. Never. Okay? Om Shanti. Om Shanti. Any questions? Any questions? Alright? No? Anybody wants to ask anything? Yes? Toli, that is your right. That is your right from Baba. Of course, this is a gesture of love. But oh God, give me peace. No, we are not beggars. Toli is your right. We say Toli, and the second is Madhuban, and third is Murli. Madhuban, Murli and Toli, your rights. You should always ask for it. No problem. Yes? Okay. Tattvam. Tattvam means you are that. Tat means that. And Tvam means you. So you are that. Tattvam means you are that. You are the same. Like when Brahma Baba got vision of Vishnu, Vishnu told him, Aham Chaturbhuj Tattvam. I am Vishnu and so are you. You are the same. So Tat means, Tat is you, and no, Tat is same, Tvam means you. Aham Chaturbhuj, I am Chaturbhuj, Aham is I, Tvam is you, I and you. Aham Chaturbhuj Tat Tvam, I am Chaturbhuj, so are you. Okay? All right.